did that so because it was curled. That didn't help.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you, Vicki. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, the coming King of the Kingdom, the one who has a plan, who sits at your right hand making intercession for us in order to save us to the uttermost. Thank you, Lord, that that's the case for us who have no righteousness of our own, whose human righteousness doesn't count. It's horribly insufficient. And but because of Jesus Christ, we are the righteousness, your righteousness in him, hid with Christ inside of God, dead to the world, crucified as the world is crucified to us. We thank you, Father, that we have the Word of God that is a continuous, constant encouragement in this dark world. Thank you that we've been born at such a time as this, these exciting days, the last days, which by your word is undeniable. Father, may we make the most of our opportunity and hasten your coming. We pray it in the name of Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. I've entitled the message today, Hasten the Coming of the Lord. We'll talk a little bit about that, what that means to hasten the coming of the Lord. It's Sunday, December 17th, 2017. We're in Isaiah 23. I more than a third of the way through, 66 books, 66 chapters, even as there are 66 books in the canon, scripture. Isaiah 23:1, New American Standard. The oracle concerning Tyre. You say, well, what do we need to know about Tyre? Well, Tyre is has a remarkable likeness and parallel to our great city. It was a seaport, the busiest seaport of the time, for importing and exporting products from all over the known world, even as New York City is today. So the oracle concerning Tyre, wail those ships of Tarshish, for Tyre is destroyed. The ships of Tarshish used to go all around the civilized world at that time, to the outskirts of man's adventures and travels, to bring back commodities and luxury items, exotic things from all over the known world. For Tyre is destroyed without house or harbor, it is reported to them from the land of Cyprus. Cyprus is an island south of Greece in the Mediterranean Sea. Let's see if we have Cyprus on here. No Cyprus? No. No Cyprus on this one. But anyway, verse 2. Be silent, you inhabitants of the coastland. Oh, I'll show you where Tyre is. Way up here, south of Lebanon, and the land adjacent to it was the portion of Israel given to Asher. It's oil rich, by the way. So, be silent, you inhabitants of the coastland, you merchants of Sidon. Sidon is like the twin city of Tyre. Tyre and Sidon. You always hear Tyre and Sidon together. Your messengers crossed the sea and were on many waters. The grain of the Nile, the harvest of the river, was her revenue, and she was the market of nations. Sound familiar? See the parallel? Be ashamed, O Sidon, for the sea speaks, the stronghold of the sea, saying, I have neither travailed nor given birth. I have neither brought up young men nor reared virgins. When the report reaches Egypt, they will be in anguish at the report of Tyre. Pass over to Tarshish. Wail, O inhabitants of the coastland, whose feet used to carry her to colonize distant places. Who has planned this against Tyre? The bestower of crowns, whose merchants were princes, whose traders were the honored of the earth. The Lord of hosts has planned it to defile the pride of all beauty, to despise all the honored of the earth. Overflow your land like the Nile, O daughter of Tarshish. There is no more restraint. In other words, judgment is not going to be withheld any longer. He has stretched his hand out over the sea. He has made the kingdoms tremble. The Lord has given a command concerning Canaan to demolish its strongholds. He has said, you shall exalt no more, O crushed virgin daughter of Sidon. Arise, pass over to Cyprus, that is, flee into exile. Even there you will find no rest. You can run, but you can't hide. If you take the wings of the morning, you'll find that he's there. If you make your bed in hell, he's there. Go to the deepest parts of the sea, he's there. He's omnipresent, the Lord is, and you cannot escape the justice of God. So he says here, behold, the land of the Chaldeans. The Chaldeans are the Babylonians. This is the people which was not. They came to power rapidly. Assyria appointed it for desert creatures. They erected their siege towers. They stripped its palaces. They made it a ruin. Wail, O ships of Tarshish, for your stronghold is destroyed. Now it will come about in that day that Tyre will be forgotten for 70 years. like the days of one king. At the end of 70 years, it will happen to Tyre, as in the song of the harlot. Take up your harp, walk about the city, O forgotten harlot. Pluck the strings skillfully, sing many songs, that you may be remembered. And it will come about at the end of 70 years that the Lord will visit Tyre. Then she will go back to her harlot's wages and will play the harlot with all the kingdoms on the face of the earth. And her gain and her harlot's wages will be set apart to the Lord. It will not be stored up or hoarded, but her gain will become sufficient food and choice attire for those who dwell in the presence of the Lord. This looks forward to the destruction and the restoration of Tyre. And it is a type and a picture of Babylon, the city. Mystery Babylon, the city. Not the system, but the city. The leading city of the system in the tribulation period. It's alive and well. Tyre and Sidon, to the north of Israel, was the allotment given to the tribe of Asher, but it was never cleansed or dispossessed by Israel. The inhabitants of the land ended up being useful and instrumental in building the cities of Israel and Judah. The materials and skilled workmen that they produced were used to build, rebuild, and restore Jerusalem, the temple, and the fortified cities of Israel. In the days of David and Solomon, Hiram was a wealthy and powerful ruler of Tyre and Sidon, and fully cooperated. He was under the kingdom of Solomon, and fully cooperated and supplied all that was needed of timber, silver, gold, and expensive fabrics, custom ordered by Solomon, to build and furnish the temple. The busiest seaport of its time. It imported and exported every commodity known to man at that time in history. In this way, its modern counterpart is New York City, unlike any other. The port of all ports, the seaport to the world. The port city in the future of the Kingdom of Babylon, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of all harlots. You can see the connections there. In New York City, the Ashkenazi, that means secular, Jews, the Ashkenazi Jewish community complex of moguls and merchants rule the business and financial world from there across the world and have power, worldwide power, who lay low. They don't flaunt themselves. They lay low, work behind the scenes, and will, in the end, bring to power the Antichrist. The U.S. is Ephraim, blessed and prospered beyond measure. And the Jews that live and work here constitute the harlot, unbelieving Jews. As the saying goes, throughout the Christmas shopping season, the Christians sing Silent Night while the Jews play Jingle Bells on their cash registers. They promote all of that commercialism. That's where they make their money. That is in retail and elsewise. The spirit of harlotry is materialism, the worship of wealth and power that is to be valued and protected at any and all cost. And they'll stop at nothing to secure or protect it. Behind a facade of humanitarian charity and activity, the Babylonian system is alive and well. It only awaits one thing: the revelation of the man of sin, who will bring to a full boil the wrath of God and the violent throes of Satan's last stand, which will occur following upon the catching away of the church and the mass worldwide evangelism in the first 3.5 years of the earth by 144,000 sealed Jews, Moses and Elijah, the two olive branches, and three angels flying through the mid-heavens each day at noon in Revelation 14. I'll show you those passages in just a moment. By that time, or perhaps by this time, Next year, the temple in Jerusalem could certainly be rebuilt in order that these things might come to pass. That has to happen. And it's the United States that has plans to build buildings. It is interesting that our president, and I got this from Chris on just a little bleep on Tuesday, it's interesting that he's a builder and a developer who has built hundreds of massive hospitality and business complexes around the world, who has plans to construct the U.S. Embassy in Jerusalem, which perhaps could be fashioned like the Temple of Solomon. Who knows? Which would be a fitting design, welcomed by the Knesset, that's the Jewish governing body, and the people of Israel, and I don't even think the Palestinians would object to an embassy on or near the Temple Mount, especially if you guarantee them a state or statehood. They might give up their claims on East Jerusalem. It would be in their best interest to do so. And that's Trump's whole strategy for the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Nevertheless, the temple will be built in order that the key events that trigger the end might come to pass. Mid-trib, it's the first 3 years is a time of peace, and then all heaven and hell breaks loose on the earth. The abomination of desolation has to occur, which occurs in the temple in Jerusalem. The breaking of the peace covenant with Israel that triggers the greatest persecution and slaughter of Jews and Christians that this world has ever seen. All of this will be followed by the destruction of the city that rules the world. And with it, the complete collapse of the religio-political and social order of Antichrist, who is the undisputed dictator and leader of the nations. They've given their power to him. The Antichrist is the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. That's the false trinity, 666, man's number. Man counterfeiting or masquerading as the Trinity. When the Lord Jesus comes suddenly in all of his glory and power to purge the earth of evil. In his first advent, he came to put away sin. In his second advent, he will purge evil from the earth. He'll set fire to the great city and slap the whore into the sea and drown her as the merchants of the earth look on with horror. In Isaiah 21:9, we have the passage, the original passage is quoted in Revelation. He says, "Now behold, here comes a troop of riders, horsemen in pairs. And one answered and said, 'Fallen, fallen is Babylon.'" That's what the angel cries from the mid-heaven, flies through the mid-heaven every day at noon. "And all the images of her gods are shattered on the ground," like the great image of Nebuchadnezzar that fell to the ground and was smashed into pieces. Before this occurs, Babylon, that is, prophetic Babylon or mystery Babylon, amasses the wealth of the Jews in order to secure its military and economic superiority that no one is able to challenge or resist. Possessing more wealth from the Jewish agreement and the monies that are sequestered and captured by the Antichrist government, more wealth in the United States of America, which at that time is sunk deep in debt that can never be repaid, which is owed, by the way, to the Jews, who propped the economy for an extended period holding promissory notes and owing tens of trillions of dollars in interest until all of it is owed. They owe everything. And having become the greatest, not of nations, but of debtor nations in the end. This is foreshadowed by the showing of wealth to the Babylonian king by King Hezekiah, who would, that king, the king of Babylon, would covet and move to acquire the wealth of the Jews so that they would not be able to defend themselves for the foreseeable future. In Isaiah 39:1, at that time, Merodach Baladan, he's the predecessor to Nebuchadnezzar, son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present to Hezekiah, for he heard he had been sick. He had a terrible boil and he was going to die. Huge boil, like a carbuncle, and he's going to die. And that he had recovered, and Hezekiah, God gave him 15 more years. And Hezekiah was pleased at this gift sent to him by the king of Babylon, who's just trying to get in and spy out the lands that he fully intends to capture and to strip. And Hezekiah was pleased and showed them all his treasure house, the silver and the gold and the spices, the precious oils, and his whole armory, and all that was found in his treasuries. There was nothing in his house, nor in all his dominion, that Hezekiah did not show them, that is, the Babylonians. Then Isaiah the prophet came to King Hezekiah and said to him, "What did these men say, and from where have they come to you?" And Hezekiah said, "They have come to me from a far country, from Babylon." And he said, "What have they seen in your house?" Hezekiah answered, "They've seen all that is in my house. There's nothing among my treasuries that I have not shown them." Then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, "Hear the word of the Lord of the armies. Behold, the days are coming when all that is in your house and all that your fathers have laid up in store to this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, says the Lord. And some of your sons who shall issue from you, whom you shall beget, shall be taken away, and they shall become officials in the palace of the king of Babylon," you know, like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then Hezekiah said to Isaiah, "The word of the Lord which you have spoken is good." For he thought, "For there will be peace and truth in my days." He didn't care what happens in the future. He just wants peace in his day. He wants to live out his life in peace. Short, very short-sighted. Revelation 14:6, "And I saw another angel flying in mid-heaven, having an eternal gospel to preach to those who live on the earth, and to every nation and tribe and tongue and people. And he said with a loud voice, 'Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come.'" In other words, escape judgment. "And worship him who has made the heaven and earth and sea and springs of water." And another angel, this is the second one, followed saying, "Fallen, fallen," quoting Isaiah, "is Babylon the Great, she who has made all the nations drink of the wine of the passion of her immorality." And another angel, a third one, followed them saying with a loud voice, "If anyone worships the beast in his image and receives a mark on his forehead or upon his hand, he also will drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is mixed in full strength in the cup of his anger. And he will be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever. And they have no rest day and night, those who worship the beast in his image and whoever receives the mark of his name. Here is the perseverance of the saints who keep the commandments of God and their faith in Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, 'Write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on.'" It's better to die than to live, to die in the Lord. "Yes," says the Spirit, "that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow them. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud. And sitting on the cloud was one like a son of man, having a golden crown on his head and a sharp sickle in his hand. And another angel came out of the temple, crying out with a loud voice to him who sat on the cloud, 'Put in your sickle and reap, because the hour to reap has come, because the harvest of the earth is ripe.' And he who sat on the cloud swung his sickle over the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven, and he also had a sharp sickle. And another angel, the one who has power over fire, came out from the altar, and he called with a loud voice to him who had the sharp sickle, saying, 'Put in your sharp sickle and gather the clusters from the vine of the earth, because her grapes are ripe. And the angel swung his sickle to the earth and gathered the clusters from the vine of the earth and threw them into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden. Jesus Christ trods the winepress by himself. Was trodden outside the city, and blood came out from the winepress up to the horses' bridles for a distance of 200 miles. That's a lot of bloodshed. Revelation 16. And the seventh angel poured out his bowl upon the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple from the throne saying, "It has begun." And there were flashes of lightning and sounds of peals of thunder, and there was a great earthquake, such as there had not been since man came to be upon the earth. So great an earthquake was it, and so mighty, and the great city was split into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And Babylon the Great was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of his fierce wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And huge hailstones, about 100 pounds each, that's a big hailstone, came down from heaven upon men, and men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, because its plague was extremely severe, would crush everything, wouldn't it? Revelation 18:1. After these things I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illumined with his glory, and he cried out with a mighty voice, saying, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. She has become a dwelling place of demons and a prison of every unclean spirit, and a prison of every unclean and hateful bird. For all the nations have drunk the wine of the passion of her immorality, and the kings of the earth have committed acts of immorality with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich by wealth of her sensuality." And I heard another voice from heaven saying, "Come out of her, my people, that you may not participate in her sins, and that you may not receive of her plagues. For her sins have piled up as high as heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Pay her back even as she has paid, and give back to her double according to her deeds. In the cup which she has mixed, mix twice as much for her, to the degree that she has glorified herself and lived sensuously, to the same degree give her torment and mourning." In other words, her debt to judgment is great. "For she says in her heart, 'I sit as a queen, and I am not a widow.'" Complete secular, humanistic perspective. "I sit as a queen, and I'm not a widow, and will never see mourning. For this reason, in one day her plagues will come. Suddenly, pestilence and mourning and famine, and she will be burned up with fire, for the Lord God who judges her is strong. And the kings of the earth who committed acts of immorality and lived sensuously with her will weep and lament over her when they see the smoke of her burning, standing at a distance because of the fear of her torment, saying, 'Woe, woe, the great city Babylon, the strong city, for in 1 hour your judgment has come.' And the merchants of the earth weep and mourn over her because no one buys their cargoes anymore. Cargoes of gold and silver and precious stones and pearls and fine linen, and purple, and silk, and scarlet, and every kind of citron wood, and every article of ivory." There's ivory, see? Talk about that this morning. Not allowed to sell ivory. Just old ivory. No, you used to be able to sell old ivory. Now you can't sell any ivory. On eBay, that is. "And every article made from every costly wood, and bronze, and iron, and marble, and cinnamon and spice, and incense and perfume, and frankincense, and wine, and olive oil, and fine flour, and wheat, and cattle, and sheep, and cargoes of horses, and chariots, and slaves, and human lives." Slave trade. "And the fruit you long for has gone from you, and all things that were luxurious and splendid have passed away from you, and men will no longer find any of them. The merchants of these things who became rich from her will stand at a distance because of the fear of her torment, weeping and mourning. This is the destruction of Babylon, New York City. And saying, whoa, whoa, the great city, she who was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in 1 hour, such great wealth has been laid waste. And every shipmaster and every passenger and sailor, and as many as make their living by the sea, stood at a distance and were crying out as they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like the great city? And they threw dust on their heads and were crying out, weeping and mourning, saying, woe, woe, the great city, in which all who had ships at sea became rich by her wealth. For in 1 hour she has been laid waste. Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you saints and apostles and prophets, because God has pronounced judgment for you against her. And a strong angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, thus will Babylon, the great city, be thrown down with violence and will not be found any longer. We're almost done, so hang in there with this passage. We have 10 more longer. No, we don't. Verse 22, and the sound of harpists and musicians and flute players and trumpeters will not be heard in you any longer. No more nightclubs with music, entertainment, cutting edge, musical entertainment, not going to be found there anymore. And will not be heard in you any longer, and no craftsman or any craft will be found in you any longer, and the sound of a mill will not be heard in you any longer. And the light of a lamp will not shine in you any longer. And the voice of the bridegroom and bride will not be heard in you any longer. For your merchants were the great men of the earth, because all the nations were deceived by your sorcery. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all who have been slain on the earth. That's unregenerate Israel, is the harlot. It doesn't look good for the USA, for New York City, for unbelieving Jews, for the kingdom of Satan that has all but ruined the earth and taken captive the souls of men who joined their religion of wealth and power and destroyed the world or community, the world community economy. But then the Christ shall come and the Antichrist will go. Where's he going? To his own place that was created long ago for the devil and his angels, Matthew 25:41. And where the gates are open, awaiting his arrival. And Christ will fix everything that the Antichrist has broken, and will restore the earth, the sky, and the sea, and will establish his sovereign rule on earth for 1,000 literal years, and all will be made well and kept well until evil raises its ugly head one last time, but Satan is released from the bottomless pit in order to crush it forever. And when that is done, all things will be made new. Isaiah tells us this also and is quoted in Revelation. Revelation depends or leans heavily upon the prophecy of Isaiah. Isaiah 41, comfort, O comfort, my people, says your God, speak kindly to Jerusalem and call out to her that her warfare has ended, that her iniquity has been removed. She has received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice calling, clear the way of the Lord in the wilderness, make smooth in the desert a highway for our God. Let every valley be lifted up and every mountain and hill be made low. And let the rough ground become a plain, and the rugged terrain a broad valley. We saw the earthquake and what it did to the earth, the topography of the earth. It's all made right. It's restored. Fixed. Everything Satan ruined is fixed. And let the rough ground become a plain, and the rugged terrain a broad valley. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all flesh will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. This doesn't only talk about the restoration of millennial earth, but also the new heavens and the new earth, which also is in Revelation. Isaiah is the foundation for Revelation in many, many ways. Many things that are said are quotes of Isaiah. For example, 65:17, "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come to mind." Thank God. Won't ever reference an earthly reference, frame of reference, but a heavenly one. Isaiah 66:2, "For just as the new heavens and the new earth, which I make, will endure before me," that means forever, "declares the Lord, so your offspring and your name will endure." 2 Peter 3:13, "But according to his promise, we're looking for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells," or dwells at home. It can't come soon enough. Are you looking for it? How about hastening the day? In 2 Peter 3:12, he says, "Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, on account of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning, and the elements will melt with intense heat." Hear the word hastening, spude, make haste or speed, and pursue it with all frequency and priority. Earnestly awaiting or living for the day, that's what it really means, living unto that day, like a child waiting for Christmas morning. There's my Christmas message for you. There are those who say that's not practical. That seems too bizarre and impractical. But those who say such things must not be aware how near and how imminent all of this is for us, for our children, for our grandchildren, for our nation, and for the world. Don't be a mocker in the last time. 2 Peter 3:3. "Know this first of all, in the last days mockers will come." This is in the church. "With their mocking, following after their own lusts," and saying, "Where's this promise of his coming?" Well, we see in front page news, things are happening, developing. Things have become suddenly possible that were deemed impossible. "Where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation. For when they maintain this, it escapes their notice that by the word of God, the heavens came into existence long ago. Let there be," he said, "and there was. All that is created by the word of God, consisting of nothing more than the word of God. No material substance, just the word of God. For when they maintain this, it escapes their notice that by the word of God, the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and by water." That is, the land came up from the water. It was covered with ice. It was covered with water, and the land came up, emerged from the water. The landmass, the continents, through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded with water. That was in the days of Noah, when he killed all but 8 people on the earth because of angelic infiltration, genetic engineering. But the present heavens and earth, by his word, that's the one we live in, are being reserved for fire. Going to burn them up. "Kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is as one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness?" People like Jesus, that's what we should be. Make him our role model. And the celebrity, the only celebrity. Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, living as though it was going to happen now, today. We're like a small child waiting Christmas morning, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, on account of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning, and the elements will melt with intense heat. But according to his promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent, expectant, anticipating his coming, to be found by him in peace. The peace that passes understanding, guarding your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, at peace with one another, harmonious rapport with God and amidst the body of believers, spotless and blameless, confessing sins as needed, keeping us clean slate at all times, and taking responsibility for what you do, not blaming other people. That's to be blameless. And regard the patience of our Lord to be salvation. As long as he delays, that means more and more people will be saved. And he knows when the final increment of humanity comes in, when the fullness of the Gentiles comes in, fullness of the nations, that means. Doesn't mean they're non-Jews. They could be from Jewish stock. As a matter of fact, I just got my DNA kit so I can find out my Jewish heritage. I got it off a website. It's probably a hoax. But it says, if you get this and send it in, we'll tell you if you're Jewish. I want to find out if I'm Jewish. And the Warrens are Jews. You can tell by, look at my profile. I'm only kidding. I'm not casting aspersions upon the Jews. Just the unbelieving Jews are no different than any unbelieving. Worse, perhaps, than the unbelieving heathen. So, because of the heritage that was theirs, they cast away. It's the harlot is unbelieving, Ashkenazi Israel. So, the Lord will establish his kingdom and heaven's embassy in Jerusalem. And the temple will be rebuilt. More fantastic and complete than ever before, from which Christ will rule the universe, as the new Jerusalem will forever be the universally recognized capital of the new heavens and new earth throughout the endless eternal state, throughout the millennial kingdom and then the endless eternal state. The things that are occurring today are historic and prophetic and accomplish the beginning of the end of life. They're the birth pangs, Jesus said. The beginning of the end of life on earth as we know it. And this is an exciting time to be alive. In future messages, I will speak about certain breakthroughs in technology that are about to dawn and that are more sweeping than the internet, Microsoft Windows, or the Apple iPhone technology. All I'll tell you at this time is, if you are a savvy investor, invest in AI. We're done. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these things. And Father, may we be aware of these things and take to heart and be ever more excited about the days that we live in, and take our opportunity and not squander it, but take full advantage of it, so that we might have our deeds follow us, be rewardable production in the eternal state, to the glory and honor of Jesus Christ, and be those trophies of grace that you designed for us to be in the church age, unto which you've given us the full counsel of God's word, old and new. The prophecy of Isaiah brought forward to the end of human history in Revelation. many, many scriptures, which makes it so very relevant for us. And the New Testament that declares things that were never heard or seen before, the mystery of God, kept secret, hidden from men and angels, from ages and generations past, now revealed through the holy prophets and apostles to the saints, that we might live with a sense of imminent destiny, awaiting the coming of Christ like a small child waits for Christmas morning. Father, bless these things. Vicki, if you would get ready, please. And if I could have my ushers, Father, bless the offering today as well. For the glory and honor of Jesus Christ, our great God and Savior, we pray, amen.
We could all stand.